There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves, and the light,
and the light,
and the light. There were souls to.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler, and my co-host for the show this evening will be Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special edition broadcast. We are grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by 11 faithful members of the Churches of Christ. And we would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air, you can give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com, or you can call the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition.
We will follow His command. Send the light,
send the light,
the blessed gospel light.
Let it
shine from shore to shore. Send the light,
send the light,
and let its radiant beams light the world,
light the world.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show, and this is a special edition show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would join me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the various activities of the day, placing on our hearts to be at this point in time to where we are on this broadcast, and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, pray that you will be with my co-host on this evening's broadcast, Robert Lee Johnson. Pray that you'll continue to bless him in his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and bless his family as well. Father, we pray for our listeners that you will be with them as they listen to this broadcast, and we pray that they may listen well. We pray that their hearts will be open and their hearts will be receptive to your divine word. And Father, we pray that they may hear something that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and all that he means to us in this life and the life to come. We thank you for the love that you had and that you was willing to send your only begotten son, that he would die cruel and ignominious death on Calvary, that he would be willing to suffer such things on our behalf. Father, we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you will continue to be with us and bless us and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition, and we try to do these special edition shows every first Monday of each month. That's why it's called a special edition, because we normally air on Thursday evening. So tonight's broadcast will be my co-host, Robert Lee Johnson. He will be the only co-host on the show tonight, and he will be bringing us a lesson from the Word of God. So I'm going to play a few songs to get Robert ready to go. And when Robert is ready to go, he will come on the air. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Enjoy the show.
Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise. Who's that making that noise? That noise, that noise, that joyful noise.
Amen. We are Amen.
Wonder how can he smile?
Joyful.
Gospel Light Radio Show Special Edition. Now my co-host Robert Lee Johnson and his subject, What God Can Do for You.
Thank you so much, Stevie, and welcome to the radio show. Good people out there in radio land, we want you to know that we appreciate so much the fact that you're out there listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we could be doing a lot of things, some good, some bad, but I really enjoy taking the opportunity to share God's word with you on this occasion. And I think, Stevie, a great host, great Christian man, for desiring the salvation of the world and launching programs of this kind to help people to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to come to know him and to accept him as the Savior of the world. We have so many preachers today who just have found it easier to walk in a path that's different from that described by the apostles. And any good radio program, any doctrinal program that follows after the teachings of Christ, we have to commend for the good of that program and the good that it will do in this world. And so what God can do for you. I've heard people say on many occasions that I'm just so far out of reach that no one can really help me. And I think they mean that because they say it. But there is someone who is able to help us. God, in the Old Testament, dealt with his people. And they walked contrary to his will. They were not really interested in following after him because they got a taste of the world. And if you really want to know why people leave the Lord, it's because they get a taste of the world. They're so interested in Satan's will that they completely forget about the will of God. And some people believe that they can do both. They can serve God and also continue to serve Satan. But that is an absolute misunderstanding of what is taught in the Word of God. Now, you may be a believer, but you can become an unbeliever. You may be obedient today, but you can grow to be disobedient. Let's let the Word of God talk to us. In Psalm 78 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through it. And he made the water stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers." The Bible says, "And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness." And then the Bible says in Psalm 78:18, "And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" And so, you know, it's kind of disheartening when you do all that you can do to be helpful in a situation. And God did that for his people. And now they are at the point in their lives where they want to walk in their own pathway. They're questioning God. And I just believe somewhere along the way, they were influenced to be disobedient to Almighty God. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 78. "It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." The Bible says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law.
And verse 11 is a very interesting verse. The Bible says, and forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them, all that God had done for these people. The Bible says that they forgot God. They forgot the works that he did, his wonders, and God showed those things to them. And now they're questioning whether or not God can give them water. Listen, do you realize the things that happen to us, the experiences that we have, good people, do you realize that we are supposed to allow those experiences to lead us closer to God? That if God helped us out one time, will he not help us out a second time? That if God delivers us from an impossible, what seems to be an impossible situation, that God can still do that now. If God did it one time, can he not do it again? So why then are these people rebelling against God and therefore not really believing in him? In scorn, the people ask the question, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Like God had never fed them before. But now we are out here in the wilderness. Now, you'll find that there are two groups of people in the church. There are two groups of people outside of the church. There's the can group, and there's the God can group. The question today is, which group are you? Do you believe in God? And do you believe that God can make things happen according to his will? Or are you a doubter and have no real belief in the Son of God? If it happens, that'll be good. But if it doesn't happen, well, you know, you didn't expect it to happen anyway. So I simply say to you today that there are some things that God can do. Number one, the Bible respectfully shares this point with us, that God can turn night into day. God can turn night into day. Yes, he can. Children, you know, we have to believe that God can do this. What can he do, Brother Johnson? I said that God can turn night into day, no matter how dark it is. Where you are, no matter how difficult it is for you to accept the teachings of Christ, if man would just believe in God, God can fix those situations so that we can understand his will. And through the experiences that God gives to us, we are totally capable of understanding that God is able. He can do it for you, friends. I'm here to tell you that he can. I've had many dark nights. I've thought about many things in my life, but I wondered about a lot more things. And yet, after I have experienced these situations, I've been through these situations, and hopeless? Yes, it looks that way sometimes. Helpless? Yes, I feel that way sometimes. Darkness? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. But God is able to turn night into day. The Bible says, they that sat in darkness saw a great light. That's what the book says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Every person today who is saved, my friends, we were saved because God turned the night into day. God turned his spiritual light on our souls. We were lost in the darkness of sin, just stumbling and bumbling around. And yet it was God who fixed this situation for us. I'm so happy tonight that I believe in the Savior of the world. Paul says that Satan blinded the minds of people, and it is because of the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Who is Christ? Paul says he who is the image of God. And when we trust in God, God allows the light of the gospel to enter our souls. And so, you know, we just have to believe in him. We have to take him at his word. We must walk according to his will. God should shine his light in our souls. Did you not know tonight that there are people who are deceived by sin? God can open up the spiritual eyes of that individual so he can see the will of Christ. Now listen to what the Bible says as I turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to look humbly at verses 7 and 8. Paul, I believe it was Paul who wrote the book of Galatians. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Sin deceives us. Some people believe, though in sin, that God will still save them. You are being deceived by the devil and his messengers. God will not save you while you are in sin. God will not save anyone while they are in sin. And then the Bible says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's a difference in walking after the flesh. There's a difference in walking in darkness as opposed to walking in the light. And when we receive the Word of God, the Bible, we take the Bible and implant it in our hearts and lives and follow the instructions of the Word of God, and turn from our sinful ways, God would save us from our sin. Paul said, surely to the Galatians, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you live in darkness, then you're going to die in darkness. And I'm saying today, tonight, my friends, that we are to turn from sin and darkness, and to have a trusting mindset toward the Savior. Sin will deceive you. Sin will cause you to be lost. And then I just want to say again, people are blind to their need of salvation. How many ways are there to be saved? How many religions are there in the world today? How many churches do men say that they can find and be members of and go to heaven? I want to tell you this, my friends. I don't know about one way that you can take and be saved and feel assured beyond a shadow of doubt that God is in the plan. Turn with me now. You know, I'm one of those Bible preachers. I like to go to the Bible. So when I get through preaching, people can't say, well, he told us how he felt about it. No, I'm not telling you how I feel about it. I'm telling you what's in the Word of God. In John 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Who gave him? Jesus. Who gave Jesus to the world? God gave Christ to the world. And then the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you have everlasting life? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. There is a doctrine that permeates the world today. Some people teach that God automatically will send some people to hell, and God will automatically save some people. And they don't have to do anything in order for those ends or destinies to obtain. I just want to tell you that's not true. Because this scripture says that Jesus has the power to save everybody. That whosoever, red, yellow, black, or white, wherever you live, Chineseman, Japanese, it doesn't matter. But if you will turn to Jesus, for he is the saving power, and he is the source of our salvation. Why did God give it to him? God gave it to him that he might save the world. And so don't let the devil deceive you. Some people think that they are so wicked that they could never be saved. Well, that just is not the truth. Saul said he was the chief of sinners, and God saved him. Somebody said if the chief could be saved, so the rest of us could too. The Bible is right, friend. The Bible is right. Sin will deceive you. People are blind to their need of salvation. Have you ever tried to teach someone who thought they knew the will of God? And no matter how hard you reason with them, they were just satisfied in what they have. Even though you pointed out to them that what you believe is not in the Bible. You see, we have to be careful there. And then people are blind to the joys of being saved. It's so disheartening to listen to saved people talk about their salvation. They speak as if there is no God. Many do. They act as if God cannot do anything for his people. That God is up there in heaven. We're here on the earth. And our plight is set and sealed through cement that is hardened. I want to tell you that that's not true. And as a Christian, we need to be able to rejoice that we're people of God. Did you get up this morning? Did you look at the sun this morning? Did you have something to eat today? You got a few dollars in your pocket. Are you breathing? We need to learn to celebrate Jesus every day. We need to learn to celebrate God every day. Let me give you an illustration from the scriptures. Here was a man who became saved, and the Bible explains what he did after he became a Christian. And I think, God, you know what, the things that are in the Bible, they are put there so that we may embrace them, so that we may learn from them, and that we may follow them. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 36, that as they went on their way, the Bible says they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip had preached to the man, had taught him the word of God. And evidently he had to mention baptism. The man said, I see some water. What's going to stop me from being baptized? The Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says in verse number 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both. Where did they go? They went down both into what? Into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. The Bible says, and he baptized him, Philip baptized the eunuch in water. It was enough water for them to go down into. And my Bible tells me that baptism is not sprinkling some water on a person's head or pouring water on a person's head. No, baptism is a process where one dies to the world, where he is buried in water, and where he rises up out of the water. And so that's why we preach the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, because the sinner's conversion to God must be the same as Jesus coming up out of the tomb, out of the grave, never to enter that tomb anymore. And I like the way he is described in verse 39. The Bible says, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the Bible says, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let me tell you something. If God does so much for us, if God lifts us out of difficult and hard situations and places and deliver us from circumstances that no man could deliver us from, don't you understand that we need to praise God? Every day, it shouldn't have to be your birthday for you to feel happy. It shouldn't have to be Christmas time and Easter time and all that kind of stuff for you to feel happy. Listen, we need to rejoice in Christ. We need to rejoice because of Christ. We need to be rejoicing soldiers so that the people in the world can say, what happened to them? This man has a new way about him. And that's what Paul meant when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm so happy today to know that I'm a Christian, that God can turn my night into day, that God has delivered me from myself and from my sin so that I can love him and walk in his way and just do those things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. I'm just so pleased to know that I can be a Christian. Can I tell you something else that God can do? God can turn bondage, all your prisons, God can loose them, set you free, and point you in a new direction. God can turn your bondage into liberty. God can give you freedom today. We need to be thankful for that. The Bible says, if the Son set you free, you are free indeed. In Mark 5, I read the Bible where it says Jesus did some setting free. Jesus set some people at liberty, if you please. There was a wild man that was playing around in the tombs, and he made people afraid of him because he was dying there in the tomb. But when Jesus got a hold of him, Jesus fixed him. And the Bible says he made him normal. And they came over onto the other side of the sea and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You can even bind this man with chains and fetters, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, the Bible says, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, the Bible says he ran and worshiped him. You know, people are like that today. When you become a Christian, the first thing say, oh, he gone crazy. Oh, is something wrong with him. This man, there was something wrong with him, but Jesus turned his night into day. Changed his whole life. Loosed him from a prison of unclean spirits. And the Bible says, Christ said in Mark 5:8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And I besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And so the Bible says these evil spirits went into a group of swine, and they ran off of the mountain. And the Bible says that when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. This man recognized the power of God. He said, I just want to be with you. He used to be in the tomb. He used to cut himself with rocks and things. And now all he want to do is be with Jesus. Satan had him bound. But Jesus set him free. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And the Bible says all men did marvel. Let me tell you something. Christ can turn your life around. He turned a man who was filled with unclean spirit, turned him around, cleaned him up, pointed him in the right direction. Somebody ought to be calling Jesus' name right now. Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus, I need you to set me free. Jesus, get me out of this prison. And there are so many today that refuse to honor the Lord. And then my Bible tells me further, if you please, that there was a sick woman. She had a disease, an itch of blood. And she said one day in a crowd, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. You said, Brother Johnson, what business is Jesus in? Jesus is in the making whole business. Yes, he is. And so that woman went through that crowd. It was difficult, but she went on through there until she reached Christ. She did not stop until she reached Jesus. And the Bible says she touched his garment and turned and walked away. And Jesus said, wait a minute now, somebody touch me. God knows when you touch his son. And the son knows when he's been touched. And if you read your Bible, you'll know when you touch the Lord. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples were angry because they said, well, Lord, look at all these people. How can we tell who touched me? Christ knew in that crowd that he had been touched. And that woman was changed from that day forth. Whatever your problem is, Jesus can help you with that problem. Jesus can lift your spirits. Jesus can change you. And then I read in the 5th chapter of Mark again in verse number 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said that thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. God is asking you today, don't be afraid, just believe in the word of God. And the Bible says that Jesus touched this young lady and raised her from the dead. Tabitha, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. That's the power of God. God can turn the old world into something new. God can change our lives and make us believers in his gospel, which brings us eternal life. Oh, it's such a blessing to know him. It's such a blessing to be a part of the Christian life, to be a part of the Christian walk, to be a part of the daylight, the spiritual light of God, and not walk and live and die in darkness. I'll give you one more example today, and then I'll be done. I have a lot more to say on here, but I don't need to say all this today. Can I tell you one more thing God can do? God can turn doubt into blessed assurance. Thomas said one day, he said, my Lord and my God. In John 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Paul said one day, I believe God. Paul had told these people that they shouldn't get on the boat, that there was a storm brewing, but they got on the boat anyway. And then God spoke to him and told him, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And God had told Paul that no one would die through this storm. Isn't that beautiful? They went out there on their own, disbelieving in the message of Paul. You know, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble when you don't believe in the teachings of Christ. But God, through his providential watch care, took care of Paul and those who were with him on this day. Paul said, I believe God. When you're troubled in this life, you need to say, I believe God. No matter what's going on in my little world, my world is turned upside down. It's not working like I want it to work. I'm having some difficult time. You need to say, I believe God, that God will bring me out. And I'm here to tell you that he will. He's capable of doing it. And then my last example for today. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They told him to stop talking. Stop calling Jesus' name. And the Bible says he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thy son of God, have mercy on me. They told him to shut up, but he wanted to find the Lord. And sometimes when people are telling you to shut up about the Lord, you need to cry out the louder. And Jesus stood still after hearing his voice and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, said unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus sent for this man. And the man cast away his garment, rose, and came unto Jesus. He was blind. He heard somebody say, Jesus is passing by. He called the Lord's name and kept on calling the Lord's name until Jesus recognized him. What does that tell you, Brother Johnson? Well, it tells me this. It tells me that when you are in trouble, you need to call the Lord's name. When your problems are burdening you down, you need to learn to call the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus heard this man, Barnabas, Bartimaeus, and Jesus responded to him. What if he had listened to the people? You know, too many of us listen to people and we find ourselves wrong and lost or in sin because we're listening to people. We need to listen to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I'm telling you, you need to believe in him today. God can turn your defeats into victory. I know some men that fished all night. They didn't catch one fish. Jesus came out early in the morning. He said, "What's going on with you?" They said, "Lord, we fished all night. We ain't caught nothing." The Lord said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." You see, they were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. And when they put that net down, the Bible said they caught so many fish, it was difficult for them to pull them in. God can turn a storm into a great calm. I don't know what's going on in your life, but every day, you know, everything is not always lovely. But whatever storm is in your life, God can change it. God can quell it. God can tell it to shut up and go somewhere and sit down. God can turn death into life. They said to Jesus, in John the 11th chapter, "My brother would not have died, Lord, if you had just been here." And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And the Bible says, "And he who was dead came forth." One day, when we meet him in the judgment, we will live in an undying state. We'll have eternal and everlasting life. God will bless us to live with him forever. So I'm saying, don't give up. If you give up, don't quit. Just keep going back again and again until you get it right. No one is perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. But we have a God who loves us dearly. If you are not a Christian, we announce on this program, The Turns of Pardon. To become a Christian, you need to hear the news of the glorious gospel. You need to learn that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried. He got up from the grave, and the Bible tells us that he resurrected, and that lesson was preached into the whole world. Go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the story of his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you believe that today? You must believe it. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the second step, says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." You must repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance is necessary. Repentance is commanded of God. So whatever you're doing that's wrong, you have to stop it. You have to quit it. God won't do that for you. People say, "Well, we are saved plus nothing and minus nothing." Well, that's not true. We're saved when we obey God. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You have to obey Christ. You have to quit your sins. You have to turn through repentance. And then fourthly, you must make the confession that Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. The eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he was baptized. Acts 2:38 says that we're to be baptized in order to have our sins remitted. Not because we're already a Christian, not because we're already saved, but in order to eradicate our sins, we must be baptized. Acts 2:38, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, in order to, the remission of your sins. It's what the Lord commands. Thank you so much for listening. I am so happy to bring this message to you. Sorry, Steve, I think I preached a little longer than I told you I would, but I enjoyed it. God is good. And we are happy to know him and to know his power, that he is the Son of the living God. Please tune in to these special services. And Stephen will be announcing them every week. We ask you to come and be a part of what we're doing here on this beautiful radio program. I love it. I thank you, Stephen, for this time. God bless you. Have a good day.
makes no mistake.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, Special Edition.
I know.
I have been, ooh, I've been let down. Yes, I have.